Well, the other day, I was here at church. It must have been Wednesday. I was here. Well, I'm not here that much. I'm not here as often as usual because I'm trying to abide by the stay-at-home orders and stay safe. But I was here on Wednesday because there was a member of the church who had worked with his community organization to get a whole lot of food donated and funds donated to go purchase food, which he had brought all of on that Wednesday morning. And so I was here to receive that and to be a part of organizing it all. And while we were here, a member of the church stopped by. And they stopped by to drop off a few things. And I have to say that this was someone I had not seen since everything shut down. And I was just overcome by seeing them. And so I had to tell them, I said, every time that we have worship in this space, every time that we do these worship services that are broadcast across Facebook and YouTube, I see you. I see you in your pew, right over there. And what a comfort it is to be able to picture your presence that has been so regular in your regular seat, in your regular pew. You know, it's funny because as much as we preachers tend to rail against people being stuck in their regular pew and grumbling when someone tries to sit in their pew, it's actually rather comforting right now to imagine each person in their regular spot. And then they actually shared that that seeing us here each Sunday, these familiar faces, is also a great comfort to them. It's hard to be separated from one another. Nothing could have prepared us for the absence of hugs and singing together and eating together. And we didn't even get the chance to say goodbye to these familiar faces. Today, as you heard Michelle read, this is just a small part of Jesus attempting to say goodbye to his disciples. It's part of what is called the farewell address, which is, by the way, several chapters long in good Gospel of John fashion. And this farewell address takes us all the way back to Holy Thursday, to the night that Jesus was arrested, to the night before Jesus was killed. And there Jesus is with his disciples imparting words of wisdom and comfort before the worst days of their lives. Do you remember a time when you had to say goodbye? When you had to put together the right words to say goodbye to a loved one who was dying? To a child going off to college? To a family member going for basic training or their first military assignment? How can you possibly say all the things? Words of comfort and promise, sadness of being separated, but also joy in the hope of what is to come. Thanks for all that has been. And in some cases, apologies for falling short. Well, Jesus, it seems, is determined to say it all, so much as that is possible. To at least say enough to give them a lifeline through the trauma of the days to come, of losing their dearest friend and teacher, of knowing that their own lives are at risk, of the uncertainty of the future of this movement that has become their life. And so Jesus speaks these words that have become so familiar to us. Partially, I think, because we read them at least half of the funerals we have here at Epiphany. But as in much of John's gospel, these words sound so lofty. They're so ethereal. They're so heady. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I will come again and will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Understandably, Thomas and Philip are utterly confused. I understand that because I find myself similarly confused these days about the beautiful but otherworldly promises of God and what they might mean for our current reality that's just plain tough. We're the people who are always more vulnerable in our society. Older people who are living off of Social Security. People with pre-existing conditions. People living in poverty. People who are without a home. Black and brown people who are dying at devastatingly higher rates than white people. Those who are both more susceptible to this virus and therefore at greater risk if we open too soon, and are the same people most hurt by the closures. What does Jesus' promise, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places," do for these people right now? This promise feels so distant. So big, so unattainable, unimaginable, out of touch. But Jesus reminds the disciples and us, "Here I am, in the flesh. You need something to hold on to? Hold on to me. And when I am gone to the Father, hold on to one another. For I am in you. I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus promises. Not as a means of excluding people, but as an anchor in the storm that is to come. God's promise is in the flesh, in one another, in those familiar faces or the familiar voices that we hear. Even when we can't be together. Perhaps you've heard of the idea, you may be the only Bible someone ever reads. Have you heard that before? Feels like a lot of pressure, doesn't it? Though there's a lot of truth in it. That your words and deeds of kindness and compassion reflect on your life as a disciple of Jesus. You might well be that anchor for others, that experience of God in this troubled time, even as the disciples were for the early church. But if that feels heavy, hear then this promise from Paul that remains true even when you feel like you are falling short or you are confused like those disciples, or you simply have a hard time getting out of bed. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's you. That's us. God abides in you. In all of your messiness, you can be that familiar face and familiar voice. May you feel that abiding presence, and may it shine forth from you, you royal priesthood, you salt of the earth, you light of the world. In Jesus' name.
Amen.